Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Odds Couple. I don't know how many tipsters are around, but stay listening. Wherever you might be around this wonderful country called Australia, the state of Victoria, the city of Melbourne, great to have your company every Saturday morning for the Odds Couple. I say, I'm not sure where the tipsters are. Tax is 3:30 back. It's still bothering him. He's not here, the great man. So he's still recovering, and we wish him well. We wish him well. We'll get to the bottom of it when he returns to air, but not with us. Josh Jenkins joining us for the second half of the show. Unsure why, needs to be questioned when he arrives on scene. I'm thinking just he's starting to age and get a bit rounder since he's been stopped playing, so he just needs that bit of extra sleep to give him some energy. So we'll talk to Josh Jenkins out of 8:30. But Chris Nelson... You know, it's racing up in Queensland. It's a great place to race. We know that. They're right in the centre of their carnival, and he is the voice of Racing Queensland. He is also the voice of the Odds Couple this morning, and I welcome him for the whole show this morning. Chris Nelson, we're up there on the sunny coast. A welcome to you.
Simon, great to be with you again. Second week in a row, thanks to Tag sleeping in and... Say, if it wasn't for you and me, this show wouldn't even be on air,
mate,
I'm sure of it.
The history, the absolute history, pal. There's a couple of warriors in this joint, and it's you and me.
Seems that way. I had a question for JJ too regarding football or the AFL from watching last night, so I'll leave that to the second half of the show.
Okay. Well, run it past me and we'll see if we give the same answer.
All right. What the hell has happened to kicking for goal in the AFL?
Okay, well, let's wait to hear from JJ after 8:30 on that one.
What was your answer? What was your answer? Do they practice kicking for goal? I mean,
not enough.
I can't get too clever because I haven't played at the level. But the one thing about AFL football, and I watch a lot of it, as you do too, the kicking for goal's just gone backwards, hasn't it?
You debate this, and it's really interesting hearing people involved in footy talk about it. It's something that's rarely practiced these days. All these loads and you're allowed to kick so many times and that all happens while you're training, doing all your drills and where to run to. But the whole idea of the game is when actually those drills come to fruition, you've got to be able to kick the goals more often than not.
Kick a goal.
And there's limited practice put into that skill of the game, which I find quite fascinating. And, they're probably saying, well, that, wears your thigh out and, you're not getting any running or you're not, enlarging the tank. But it's something that, you don't kick enough of those, well, you don't win the game, no matter how big your tank is or anything else. So I don't know where they end up on this. I don't know. But it is. It's amazing. That's... And then add the confusion, do we hook it and snap it, or do we kick a drop punt, or so? Yep. There's other elements come in, and some people, we're seeing it with the big Carlton forward now. That you sort of think, well, he's not sure what to do. Albeit last night, I thought he was really good in that he went out there and he went bang and really kicked with authority and knew what he was up to. So that was good to see.
And it's such a confidence thing as well. I mean, with Harry, I mean, if he's missed a few, obviously your confidence is down. It's like a lot of sports. And I play a fair bit of golf, and I can tell you I can get the odd shank going when I play golf, and the listeners will know all about that. And once you do one or two, it's in your mind for a long time, and it's the same with shooting for goal, I'm sure of it.
There's an old saying, and I think it's relevant across the decades. You go through a process and what you don't do is you don't visualise, you don't put it at the forefront of your mind what may or may not happen. You trust the process, but what the end result is will be the end result depending on how you do that process. And You know, so many are saying, oh, this has got to be a goal. This has got to be. Well, you just don't need that pressure. It's go back, eight steps, walk, run in, kick it. That's what I do.
Yep.
The rest will look after itself. But we're a racing show, I think. So we probably should talk a bit.
Sports show.
Yeah, we're actually well put, Chris. Interesting, some news around in the last sort of 48 hours. I wanted to touch on Stephen and Jess Pateman. Now, they've just got 11 months, the stable, for a cobalt positive. Chris, mm-hmm. That cobalt positive, I'll give you three guesses how many years ago it was. Or tell me the year. Was it 2017, 19, or 2020?
17.
2017?
Yep.
We're in 2023.
It's just dragged on. Yeah, they've just dragged on all around the country, these cobalt. And look, I don't know a lot about it, but I do have a good friend who's right across it. And he, according to him, that doesn't make any difference. The amount that's in there would make no difference whatsoever. As I said, I don't know, but he's done a lot of research on it.
But outside of whether it has an effect on the horse or not, how can you have a 2017 positive? We are now halfway through 2023. 6 years have gone by.
And what does that do to your business in 6 years?
Well, correct. You know, and how do you keep, you know, facing people and saying, yeah, no, we'll be right, all's good, let's get some healings in the place. I find it staggering. And again, no one has given me an answer of why it takes that long. And it's just got to stop. Yeah. The Danny O'Brien affair went for 6 or 7 years. It's just not right.
Yeah, surely it can't take that long to get a definitive decision one way or another. You know, 6 years is, as I said, it just kills people's business. They can't go on. They can't have any certainty about their future while this is hanging over their head. And then, as you mentioned then, with yearlings, whatever, who's going to buy into the stable when they don't know if it's going to be there in so many months, years?
Quite right. And you know, and I feel for the stewards in all of this as well. Obviously, they're hamstrung by rules and testing that needs to be done in laboratories. And you know, but you know, there just has to be, a set period of time that you're either found guilty or innocent, and there's a six-month time period, full stop. And if it's not put to bed within that 6 months, you know, just put a line through it and we move on, because it's both the authorities and the participants can't keep going on like that.
No, and we had a case up here that I think dragged on for a similar amount of time, maybe not quite as long, but the trainer was thousands and thousands of dollars out of pocket, and in the end, which is only recently, I think it got dismissed, but he's still got to pay all the fees.
Mm.
So, you know, it's probably wrecked his business anyway.
Yeah.
No, and there's no charge.
Extraordinary stuff. And I think, you know, we'll dig in a bit further, and I'll talk to Gareth Hall about it. Just, you know, we need to sort of get an understanding of why these things take so long. What are the pitfalls that stretch them out the way they do? And let's get to the bottom of it and say, well, okay, how do we get this process that's reasonable for all parties? Because it's not reasonable for any party when you've got to sit there under scrutiny for 6 years. Ridiculous.
Things get forgotten over 6 years.
Mm. Well, I'd even forgotten it happened.
Yeah, well,
I sort of read it yesterday. I thought, oh, Struth, that only come to a head. Oh, when did that? Oh, 2017. Well, hang on a sec.
Wow.
Wow, there's been obviously lots of sad news around racing from a human front of recent times. At the horse front, you know, this week, you know, Fiorente, he's only 15 years old, but he's no longer with us, the 2013 Melbourne Cup winner. Always sad when a Cup winner departs the earth, because, they're such a great part of folklore, aren't they?
They are, and this one, of course, had a special place in Gay Waterhouse's heart, because it was her first Melbourne Cup winner. Damien Oliver rode on that occasion, Fiorente, and he was a ripper. He could produce over a shorter distances, longer distance. He was very, very versatile. So, yeah, such a shame.
There'll be a stunner. I'm 100% sure there'll be now an absolute stunning horse come out by Fiorente. He's had some good ones as a stay-in. Watch now. There'll be something come out and win six Group 1s in 2 years, and everyone will think, oh, what's it by? Oh, Fiorente. Yeah. I'll send... Oh, no, he's dead.
Yeah, that's what happens.
It is
what that's happens. That's what happens all the time. But, geez, a lovely-looking horse, too.
And, who would you think is going to win the Jockeys Premiership in Melbourne, Chris?
I just say Melbourne. I haven't even looked, Simon.
Racing, you know, who do you reckon?
I'll just quickly go to my...
No, you're not allowed to. No Google. Google. Just you know, yeah. You've been watching...
Well, I love Blake Shinn. Yeah. Blake Shinn. I'll go with Blake Shinn. And I think I was hoping to see more of Blake up here during the carnival. I know he was here last week, and we tried to get him on the Punter's Mate, but unfortunately he was busy. But I'll go for Blake Shinn because I love the way he rides. He just puts them in beautiful positions, and he just has great hands.
Well, he's in second position. Who's in first, do you reckon?
Oh, now you're testing me. Okay, I give up.
Jamie Carr.
It can't be Jamie Carr, can it? Still.
She is still 9 wins in front of her closest rival. She's been off the scene. Like, it's quite an extraordinary story. And I it just appealed to me. I thought, wow, how good is she? You know, we can't wait to have her back in the saddle, and we wish her well as she continues her recovery from that nasty fall at Flemington. But she is still 9 wins ahead of Blake Shinn, who's her closest rival, on 50. Like, how far was she in front when she took the tumble?
And is there any news on when she may come back?
Good question. I haven't heard it. And, you know, on our text machine, 0499 736 736, anyone's got any news on that? Because I haven't heard in the last sort of probably 3 weeks much at all. Seen a couple of photos of her, you know, mucking around with a, you know, horse out in the day yard that, you know, she's slowly getting out and about and around to normality. But when she's starting to ride again, I haven't heard anything official there. So... hopefully we'll get some news in off our text machine this morning. But I just found that extraordinary that, you know, she must have, you know, like, she must have been 30 ahead.
She must have been. Well, good to see Willow in third spot too, Simon.
Yeah, it is too. He's had a challenging year. So, but you expect that, don't you? You expect, you know, Craig Williams. He's such a pro. Yep. He's always there and thereabouts.
We've got a mini Craig Williams up here. And if you speak to Ben Thompson, you think he's come straight out of the Craig Williams school of professionalism. Mm. And I was talking to Sammy Hyland the other week, and he said, well, he was apprenticed to Craig Williams' father, Ben Thompson. So that's where it comes from.
Oh, okay. I'll keep an eye on. I've taken note of him, but is he riding that well? Is he?
Ben Thompson's riding very, very well and has done for some time, but it's just his demeanour, his professionalism. We often have him on the shows up here, and look, he's always approachable, always available. I don't think you'd meet a nicer guy, other than yourself, of course, Simon.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. But what we're going to do is have a bit of a break, then we'll come back. You've got a big day up there today, a Group 1 day, of course, the Queensland Oaks, the Queensland Day Stakes, the Magic Millions National Classic. The Morton Cup. So it's a big day up there for you and for Queensland Racing. It's the showcase of Australian racing today up there at Eagle Farm. And we'll take a bit of a keener look at it after the break, because Queensland is your place to race this year. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We'll head up to and have a look at the Eagle Farm fields after the break.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the Odds Couple. We're going to touch on Queensland racing, our big Group 1 card up there. But we talk about winners. That's what we try and find on Saturday morning. I forgot to mention off the top of the show, Chris, Amanda Elliott, who's an avid listener of ours. Every Saturday she listens. She had a winner last week, and she texted me during the show. I forgot to tell everyone. She said, I think Naval College will win today.
Yes.
Annabelle's really confident that it'll win, and I forgot to tell everybody it. I need to apologise for that.
Well,
I'm just a terrible human being. And I actually got text during the show.
Oh, actually tell you that, and I don't like to blow my own trumpets, Simon, you know that, and I'm sure there's a trumpet sound going to come up in just a moment, but that was my best bet in Sydney last Saturday, so I'm going to give you a best bet in Sydney today.
Oh, good. Let's do that now.
Well, let's do it. Race 6 in Sydney, one of Chris Waller's. Number 9, Al Abia. That's Al Abia, two words. Now, if anyone happened to catch the video of this horse's last start, or they backed it last start, they'd have their head in their hands, but he was a good thing beaten. He just could not get a crack at them until too late, and when he did, he charged home and he missed by an eyelash. Now, he's up to a stronger race today, but he's down in the weights, and he's a very, very consistent horse. I think he'll be winning. So, Rose Hill, best bet, race 6, number 9, Al Abia, right out of my lane there.
There you go. We've got a winner in Sydney. Let's see what you think in the big races at Eagle Farm this afternoon. Firstly, the Oaks. If you look at the market, it looks a race in two.
Well, it was. Until Fireburn came out, I thought it was a race in one, Simon. That's another story, too. Fireburn. I don't know. I think
tell me the Fireburn story. Update me.
The Fireburn story was he was checked by the vets on Thursday, and they didn't like his gait. Oh, sorry, her. Get it right. Yeah. Her gait. So Gary Portelli said, that's just the way she is. That's her action. That's how she walks. Like humans, we don't all walk the same. And he said, you can speak to my vets in Sydney, and they'll tell you that that's her gait when she's walking around. But the Queensland or the Keurig stewards didn't agree with that, so they scratched her from the race. Now, Gary Portelli said yesterday morning on Friday she was as good as gold, and she galloped yesterday morning. CJ Graham rode her in a gallop, and she felt fine. So, yeah, I'm not a vet, so I shouldn't be passing any judgment at all, but that's what happened.
Okay. All right, Fireburn out. So, you have a crack at number 2. I want to see if you can put a little French slant on this for us.
Affaire à Souvre. Oh,
of course you can.
Is that all right?
Yeah, well, that and Renaissance Woman are the two fancies. Jean Baker is the trainer of Renaissance Woman, and he's pretty confident as his filly goes into the Oaks today in Queensland.
No, Renaissance Woman, she's in good order. She's had a good preparation. She's very good at the Sunshine Coast, and she's got a good gate on Saturday, so that's definitely a help, but it's a big field. I think regardless of what gate you draw in these sort of staying races, you need a bit of luck. And I know Josh Parr, he rode her on Tuesday morning at Eagle Farm, and he's got a lot of confidence. That definitely helps. So, yeah, going in confident.
What's the run to the first corner in the 2400 at Eagle Farm? Remind me, Chris, will you?
It's 2200 metres, so... Yeah. About 200 metres to the winning post, and then they've got then they're heading to the run out of the straight. So it's not that long.
So 12's a sticky barrier, isn't it? For
it could be. I'd say you'd have about 300 metres, Simon. So
let's see if that's bothering Dave Eustace with the 3-year-old filly.
Very happy with that. I don't think the gate's too much of an issue. Anyway, there'll be a bit of pressure, I suppose. The concern is that there's a long tail to the race, so you know, Johnny might have to navigate himself around a few coming back on her, but he's pretty good at that, and that looks to be enough pressure up front anyway. So she's trialled well in between and has had a really smooth prep.
You've seen lots of Oaks up there, Chris. How do you rate this one? Do you see depth in it?
As David said there, it's got a long tail. There's probably five or six chances, but there's quite a few there. You probably don't have much chance in the race. But look, I thought Fireburn was immoral and was quite happy to look forward to the race. But I think, as I said, there's probably five or six chances. I think Proscenium Arch, one from basically down your way, has been racing in South Australia and had one run up here in the Roses behind Fireburn a couple of weeks ago. And gee, it was a very good run, wide all the way, this So You Think filly, but gee, she kept finding the line behind Fireburn and Renaissance Woman, and she was beaten 2.2. Tim Clark rides, he's a very good Group 1 winning, Group 1 jockey, Tim Clark. I think Proscenium Arch at double figures is good value here. The other one I liked was Affaire à Souvre. I think it'll run very well. That Adelaide win in the Australian Oaks, I mean, that was very impressive. Sitting wide and then hitting the front and looking, you know, looking at every chance to be run down, but kept fighting strongly. So I think they're the main two. Renaissance Woman, well, see, I had Renaissance Woman out of it because I thought there's no way known she can turn the tables on Fireburn, but there's no Fireburn now. So she's got to be included, Renaissance Woman. And look, what is she, fourth up into this? I thought she was going to win last start when she hit the front about 200 metres out. I thought, this is her race. And then Fireburn just went past her like she was not nailed to the fence because she was off the fence, but gave her Winburn when she went past. And there's one there at a bit of a price, number 8, Super Chilled, for Chris Waller and J-Mac. Poor Gate, going to need some luck, but her runs have been quite good. She puts in, she's been faced with some wide trips, but she sticks to her task very well. So I think they're the main four. The Kiwi Secura Girl, gee, it's a task from that wide gate. All depends on if she can get across early.
Okay, going to be an excellent race. The Oaks there this afternoon at Eagle Farm. Another one of the good races on the card is the Queensland Day Stakes. Tony Gollan's got Golden Boom. It seems to be the one that everyone is liking at the minute. Let's see what Tony thinks of Golden Boom's chances this afternoon.
The good draw is the key to him. He can just step away well. He probably can just find probably the back of that sort of speed again, I'd say. Unless they don't want to be there, then he can take it up himself. But I think you'll see a more versatile horse like we saw at Doomin again on Saturday, and his fitness is right up to the mark now. He's absolutely spot on for the prep.
Track all good for today. I see it's a good four and fine weather, so everything should be in order there, Chris?
Yeah, everything perfect. 2 metre rail. Look, we've just had 2 weeks of... You've hardly seen a cloud over the last 2 weeks. We'll probably see a few today. It is starting to turn a bit, and they say maybe a shower later in the day or in the evening. So I don't think that's going to make any difference. Looking out the window now, you wouldn't think it's possible. So, yeah, perfect track, perfect conditions, be another big crowd. And Tony mentioned Golden Boom there. We love Golden Boom up here. He's an absolute ripper. He's very, very promising. You just need to lift it a cog, I think, to win this race.
Yeah, the other interesting runner from my point of view in the Star Morton Cup, set weights and penalties race, Group 2 level, is Clemenceau for the Hawks stable. I reckon they're keen to get on a bit of a roll, the Hawks team. It's been a tough 12 months for them getting those good horses that they like to have around them. I wonder if Clemenceau can get there this afternoon. Let's hear what Michael Hawks had to say about the chances of Clemenceau.
But Saturday, he's done everything right. I can't fault him. I know Wayne said about the 100-1 for the... Well, you said about the Stradbroke.
Yeah.
But he's got to win it to get in it. And if he doesn't win it, Gareth, he ain't in it. So
no. He's
got a lot of against him, but from that point of view. But the horse is great. I can't fault him. Just got to put a line through last night.
Yeah, they need a bit of luck going their way, don't they, the Hawksy team, I reckon, Chris?
Yeah, look, this one's got a really good chance. I've definitely got Clemenceau in the top three. I could even change that to the top two. I think he's over the odds here. His fourth in the takeover target was behind Think About It, and he didn't get a lot of room there at all. And Think About It came out, of course, and won last week at Group 1 level. Ryan Maloney rides from a perfect gate. Ryan Maloney get home on a broomstick at the moment, Simon. Mm. So, yes, in with a big chance is Clemenceau.
It certainly is. And Queensland is racing. The action continues, of course, this week across the Sunshine State. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Time for us to head off to a news break. After the news break, we'll be back with Chris Nelson, and also Josh Jenkins will be joining us to talk all things trots for a moment before we have a look at the other cards and the markets up there in Queensland.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet.
What's gambling really costing you?
Welcome back to the Odds Couple, 26 minutes to 9 o'clock. Chris, I think Sleeping Beauty has arisen.
Which
He's
one?
Joining us. Hey?
He's arisen. He's
there
arisen.
There you go, mate. You've wiped the cream off, the ageless cream and everything. You're looking okay?
Mate, I've been up for hours. What are you talking about?
Oh, what? You skipped 8 to 8.30, did you? It wasn't on your clock.
My rates have gone up, my performance has gone up, so I'm charging a bit more. And the big man said, well, just turn up for half the show. So here I am.
Okay. Well, let's hope the performance goes with the shorter period of time that you're on. Firstly, we went horrible in the trots last week. What are we going to do this week?
I beg your pardon. We didn't win, so
we
didn't go great. You know what I'm going to do this week?
What are you going to do?
Mr. O'Donnell and Mr. Nelson, we're going to have a quaddie. as our best bet, our way to play Melton tonight. Because, look, let's face it, the straight-up winners, the multis, the exotics, they haven't been getting the job done. So let's have a quaddie at Melton tonight. Mm-hmm. I'll chuck this one on the quaddie app so you can follow along. $18. So most people can afford it. I won't tell anyone, but most people can afford an $18 quaddie. Race 5, leg number 1. We're going to go with 1, Tango Tara, 2, Torrid Saint, and 4, Hurricane Harley. 1, mm-hmm. 2, and 4.
Yep.
Or as Chris O likes to say, 2, 4, 1. In the second leg, I'm going to go with number 1, Relentless Me, number 2, Magnetic Terror, and number 11, Crime Writer. 1, 11, and 2. In the third leg, number 3, Dane Mora, 1 out, $1.30 job, so I should be just penciling that one in. And then in the last leg, we're going to go with horses 4 and 8. Major Grace, number 4, and number 8, So What. Now, that won't return heaps, but I reckon for $18, you'll get a very, very nice run for your money there, boys.
Okay, first leg 1, 2, and 4. Second leg 1 to 11. Third leg the 3, 1 out. Fourth leg 4 and 8. Melton Boom. Tonight, that's the quaddie. Josh Jenkins, good luck with it.
We love it.
Yeah. I like the way you're thinking. It's good stuff. Trotsvision.com.au, every race live and free. Trotsvision.com.au. And you'll get all the trots news and vision there, and you'll get the quaddy in Melton tonight, which we need. We need.
Now, mate, Josh, Chris. If someone wanted to cut that quaddy down from $18 to $12 and they had your selections in preferential order, they'd be able to do that. That's the reason that we do that.
No, need to get defensive with me, Chris Nelson. I understand why you do them, but as I said, hopefully you don't need to cut down an $18 quaddie, because if you take one out and we get one at a bit of value, that's where we're going to make the money.
True.
So scrape up your $18, go halves with someone, just find a way to have that quaddie, and hopefully we can lob one, because it's been a little while in between drinks.
Yeah. No, we'll be right. I've got a good feeling about today. I think you're on the right track, Josh. I like the quaddie idea. Gentlemen, stay with us. On the other side of the break, we'll have a look at the quaddie at Flemington. We'll see if anyone likes anything in Sydney. We'll go over Chris Nelson's best in Sydney also, because he's given it once, and we'll give that out again. And then we'll revisit a Queensland quaddie after the break. But Flemington coming up next. The quaddy legs, we'd like, love, you know, tags to be here for the quaddy legs, but the big man is still laid up with that back complaint, the 3:30 a.m. issue. But we'll be pleased to get to the bottom of it. We wish him well. He was in a fair bit of pain last week after the 3:30 a.m. incident, and nothing good happens after midnight. We all know that.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet.
What's gambling really costing you?
Let's have a look at Flemington now, as we're 17 minutes to 9 o'clock. The quaddie legs, race 6, 7, 8 and 9. Josh, what's the market looking like? Race 6, Flemington.
Yeah, soft 6 there, boys. But here in Geelong, I don't know whether the rain's arrived in Melbourne. It's very wet in Geelong, so we're only about 44 minutes in the car from Flemington. So just be wary, punters. Grey River, your favourite. Blake Shin takes the ride. Drawn beautifully. $2.90. Private Jumbo for Bowie Mertens. Very consistent galloper. Does have a few convictions, though. $5. Then you've got Broom King for Henry Dwyer. Save for this. $6. And the Prodigal Son at $12. Want to give a mention to Castillion as well. Dean Yendel for Patrick Payne. Paddy Payne just becomes airborne through these winter months. So keep an eye on the Payne stable.
Okay, any numbers there for the first leg? Mine are 4, 7 and 8. Josh, any numbers from you?
1, 2, 4 and 7 for me, please, Simon.
Chris Nelson, have you had time to flick into a Melbourne quaddie?
No, not really, Simon. Okay. I'll throw in 15, yeah, Hellfire.
Okay. All right, we're going to go 4, 7, 8 and 15 in the first leg of the Flemington quaddie. Second leg, Chris? Second leg, Josh? You there, Josh? Hello,
He's
Josh.
He's gone. The rain got to him.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, it was too wet, mate. He slipped over, the big man. Okay.
It's a long way to fall.
It's a long way to fall.
It's all right for me.
Very good. Hang on, let me bring up these Flemington prices for a race seven. There we are. Plenty of money for Flash Feeling for Johnny Sadler and Matty Cartwright. In at about $5.50 at the moment. Joint favourite with Silent Sorrente, and they're really the two that are outstanding in the market. Number 18, Royal Hard Hat, is the other one that there is a little bit of a money for. So our quaddy numbers in the second leg are 10, 15, and 18. 10, 15, 18 in the second leg for that quaddy. Josh, any numbers now you're back with us? Do you want to add to that?
6, 7, 10, 14, 15. That's the way I'm playing, nice and wide, boys.
I know. Okay. And any thoughts from you, Chris?
Well, Sammy Hyland yesterday, when I saw him in the studio, was very, very confident, number 10, Flash Feeling. He was all over it. So I'm leaving that one in.
Okay. And I'm leaving 18 in. So we've gone very wide in the second leg. Third leg, Josh, race 8.
Yeah, it's our time. Finally found the winner's post at its most recent start. Jai McNeil. Ride 460, Jimmy the Bear. He makes the winter months his own as well. We know he went on a bit of a winning streak last year. 550, Harry Coffey off a treble in our town last weekend. King Magnus at 750, Crosshaven at 8, so a few veterans going around here. Frankie Pino, we know he loves the cut in the ground as well at $9. My numbers here quickly scooped, 3, yep. 6 and 7.
Any to add, Chris?
Bullfinch, number 11, was nominated to run up here. Actually, was accepted to run up here. They've decided to stay there unless this horse is scratched. I haven't checked the scratchings. Not without some fluker's chance.
Okay, 3, 11. 6, 7, 11 in our third leg. And a final leg, Josh.
It is. Number 2, Trey Porty from a wide alley. Might be the place to be over the 1,100 at Flemington at the end of the day. $4.60. Sengalia at $7. Zion at 8 for Nick Ryan, a last start winner. The Haas at 8. And No Drama, $10 for Lindsay Smith, also drawn out to the outside as well. My numbers, 2, 12, 14.
2, 12, 14. Anything, Chris?
Senegalia, number 15. Good gate, nice stable, ready to win.
Okay, our Melbourne quaddy for the odds couple this afternoon. First leg, 4, 7, 8 and 15. The second leg... 6, 7, 10, 14, 15, 18. Third leg, 3, 6, 7, and 11. And the final leg, 2, 12, 14, and 15. All up on our socials. And we hope we're somewhere near it, that Flemington quaddy this afternoon. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we come back and we have a look at the quaddy up there at Brisbane. Group 1 day. It's Queensland Oaks Day.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet.
What's gambling really costing you?
Yeah, Queensland quaddy time. Thanks to Werribee Isuzu Ute. They make buying cars easy. Werribee Isuzu Ute, upgrade your old ute into a D-Max now. They are paying top dollar for trade-ins. A good team down there at Werribee. So go down and say g'day when you can. You'll get a ripping deal at Werribee Isuzu. Okay, gentlemen. Chris, your time to shine here. Let's have a look at the market for race 6. Josh, up there at Eagle Farm.
Let's do it, Simon. Now, this is an interesting race. Brigantine has had some support, but Military Expert still your favourite over 1,500 metres. J-Mac takes the ride. That always draws plenty of market support. So 360 about Military Expert. Brigantine, 460. Munimek, horse that just never needs a rest, $9. And Skyman at $11, Chris Nelson.
Yeah, 10 for me, guys. Brigantine. Now, I know that he had to win that race last start. He was pitchforked in, even with 59 kilos in a Class 3. He got the job done. I think he's a better horse over further, and he gets further here, and down he goes to 54 kilos. And look, that win might have done a bit for his confidence as well. So I'm going to go with Brigantine. I'll throw in one Skyman. He always runs a good race, Skyman. Mightn't look good numerically, but he always runs a good race. 3 Military Expert, the reasons they're well in the market, third up from a break, comes out of some decent races, certainly last start. And I'll throw it, no, I won't, I'll leave Character out. I'll just go 10, 1 and 3 in the first leg.
Okay, 10, 1 and 3 in the first leg. He's done it again, Josh, on the 10-1-3 and not the 1-3-10.
He has, but we know why, and we love why he does that. He's a very professional operator. But let's look at race 7, the Star Morton Cup.
We'll let Tags know that.
Again, James McDonald, $2.80. Well, we've gone from unprofessional to professional. Prince of Boom, $3.80 for Mr. Heathcote. Number 10, Far Too Easy. It's been 650 out to 7. Clemenceau, I've heard about from Gareth Hall all week. Seriously, unbelievable. It's as if the horse has already won. Ryan Maloney takes the ride, 9 into 8. And Baller for Tony Golan at 13.
Yeah, he's got a very good chance, Clemenceau. I agree with Gareth. I've got him in the top three. I'm going to put 4 Quantico on top. Anyone that backed him at Scone is probably still in tears. He should have won that Hortensio behind Athelric. He just couldn't get out until too late. He's beaten an eyelash. He was a good thing beaten there. J-Mac jumps on. I think he'll make amends. 2, Prince of Boom. He'll give a really good sight here. Just all depends on how much pressure gets put on him early. And then, as I mentioned, number 11, Clemens. So everything maps beautifully, lines up beautifully for him. He's got a great chance. And I agree, he's over the odds. 4-2-11.
4-2-11 in the second leg. Third leg. Talking to Oaks.
Yes, the Channel 7 Queensland Oaks. We lose the favourite. Fireburn, of course, 23 cents of deductions there.
Lame, bad gate, bit like you, Josh, bad gate.
And a bad gate, too.
Bad gate. Renaissance Woman, $3.70. A fair love, that'll do, $4.50, 3 from 3 at its past 3 runs. Who done all that, seriously? Proscenium Arch at $8.50. This horse opened $18. Now, of course, there's been some money come out of the market, but plenty of money for Proscenium Arch for Bussett and Young. This horse is on an upward spiral, the daughter of So You Think. Sakura Girl, the Kiwi at $9.50, Chris Oates.
Well, if you like the Fireburn form, then you've got to go with either Renaissance Woman or Proscenium Arch. And I did like the Fireburn form, so it's Proscenium Arch for me. I thought she was really good in the roses. She was wide all the way, yet she was the one finishing off strongly. So the trip won't worry her. And she gets Timmy Clark. So Proscenium Arch on top 12. Two Affair de Souvre was very good in the Oaks there in at Morfordville, wide and fought on strongly. 3 Renaissance Woman, and I'll throw in the 8 Super Chilled at a bit of a price. 12, 2, 3, and 8.
The your toppy there, that being up for so long doesn't worry you, and not winning a race this prep doesn't worry you?
No, not really. They wouldn't be. Well, it's been up that long. It's only start number 6, Simon. So
9-8-5-5-4. I wouldn't think that's, you know, I'm not getting too warm on that.
Well, improved with every run, really. 9-8-5-5 evened out there, then the 4, ready for a 1.
Okay. So it's got to jump 3 spots in one day. It hasn't been able to do that once during its campaign.
Well, today's the day.
Well, okay, I'm taking you on there. I'm not putting the 12 in my quaddy.
By memory, I think you were taking me on with Kovalika in a similar type.
Okay, let's move on. Last leg, final leg. Let's move on.
I'm happy for you two just to go at it, mainly because I'm scalding my hand on a long black. Jeepers, creepers. Number two, geez, I think I've done a mischief here. A Golden Boom, $3.40. Red Card, the left hand's burnt to a cinder here, boys. Red Card at $3.60. James McDonald rides for James Cummings. And Written in Code could be the horse on the way up. Only had 2 runs, a win, and a second, $5.50 as I go for the cold water.
Written in Code's the one for me. A filly by I Am Invincible, trained by Annabelle Neesham. Dominant winning at Newcastle on debut against the tempo. Very good win. Went to the listed race at Scone. Ran second to Red Card, who's engaged here. I love the extra 100 metres and the freshen up, I think, can turn the table. So 18 Written in Code, 12 Red Card, 10 Ekaterina. Absolutely outstanding sectional to win at Doomben. Just comes back in distance, though. And 2 Golden Boom. We love Golden Boom. He'll get a good run and every chance. 18, 12, 10 and 2.
18, 12, 10 and 2 in the final leg. So Chris Nelson's Queensland Quaddy, first leg 10, 1 and 3. Second leg 4, 2 and 11. Third leg, 12, 2, 3, and 8. And the final leg, 18, 12, 10, and 2. You got a best bet around the country, Chris? Are you sticking with your Sydney bet?
No, I'll go Eagle Farm Race 7, number 4, Quantico, the win. Eagle Farm Value Race 9, number 18, each way all day, Written in Code. And, yes, that one at Rose Hill. Race 9, number 6, Al Abia.
A coffee man, you got a best of the day?
My best bet is Third Degree Burns on the left hand. Race 9, number 12, Rose Hill, King of the Castle. Something you are right now, Simon, because you're the only one in the studio.
Yeah, certainly am. Josh, thanks for that. Chris, great day from you, and enjoy the Queensland Oaks up there this afternoon. Thanks for your help this morning. Up next on SEN 1116 is Off the Bench with Hutchie and Pickers, of course. They're live from The View, Melbourne, while Winners with Gareth Hall is on SEN Track. We look forward to your company. I'm not sure who's going to be on the team next Saturday. Oh, Chris O will be. He's always there. He's always reliable. Beautiful bit of work. Who knows where Josh will be.